to my world. Won't you come on in? Miracles, I guess, still happen now and then.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show at Dad's Point of View. Thank you, Elvis. That song was originally done, I believe, by Ray Stevens, and he performed it in his Aloha concert, which was the most watched live event ever at the time, seen by a billion people. And I think it was the first satellite concert that was ever broadcast. So there's a useless piece of trivia from Bruce Allen. You can email me to stop giving out useless trivia at bruce@bruceallen.com, and you can follow me at Bruce Allen on Twitter. It is time for Teen Rap with Pastor Drew Sams. And Pastor Drew Sams has been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village for the last 7 years. Pastor Drew and his wife Erica live in Westlake Village, California, and are the proud parents of their first son, Judah Andrew Sams. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Bruce, always a pleasure to be back. Thanks so much.
Well, as we do each week, I would love an update on the health and welfare of baby Judah.
Well, he's coming up on 5 months. Can you believe it? He's getting huge. Yesterday, my wife took Judah, our five-month-old, over to a friend's house. They have an 18-month-old, and he was only 2 pounds lighter than that other child who's a year older.
Wow.
And he's a big, big kid, so he's already pushing me around a bit. Been a lot of fun.
That's exciting. Well, I enjoy the progress reports, and I'm assuming you still haven't blogged or put up any pictures for us to see, so I'm not even going to ask you.
You've learned my...
I've learned that you're just a little overwhelmed as a first-time daddy and the minister to hundreds of kids at your church. You have a big job. I was ranting and bemoaning a little bit earlier in the show about the state of the world, and I certainly don't want to do that with you. This week's column is about generations, and I don't know where you'd like, where and what you'd like to talk about, but
I
turn it over to you.
Well, gosh, what I really loved about your article was the fact that you took the time to remember and reflect on where your family has been. And it's so often that we just think about today, we think about the future, but we don't really think about the past and who our parents were and the values they had and who our grandparents were and this story that we're a part of that didn't start with us the moment we were born.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the older I've gotten, the more I've realized that, for example, my parents, their life didn't begin when my life began. You know, when you're a kid, you kind of think, you know, when my life began, that's when things really started. But I remember as a kid, I couldn't imagine what life was like for my parents before me. What a selfish thought, you know.
Well, but it's like most of us can't imagine our parents making love.
Yeah.
Or being sexual. It's just like, ugh.
Sure.
That's what most people do.
Yeah, or even having a life outside of, you know, that old thing, you know, if a tree falls in a forest and no one's there to listen, does it really make a sound? You know, I used to think, okay, if my parents did anything and I wasn't there to see or watch it, did they really do anything? You know, I really thought that their existence depended upon my presence, which is really immature. But as I've grown, I've realized and been so thankful of the lineage I've been a part of. And so as I watched...
And that you're now continuing.
Exactly. And I can pass on those values, mistakes that I've made, I can teach to my son to avoid those mistakes. And there's a scripture passage that I love in the Hebrew scriptures. It's Joel chapter 1, verse 3, and it says this. It's talking about the amazing things that God has done and what he has taught them. And it says this, tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation. And there's this...
There's a prayer that we do in Shabbat services that basically says the same thing, too. In Judaism, that from doorpost to doorpost and generation to generation, or something to that effect. So it's so true.
I think we've lost that I think it's a mixture of the busyness of our culture, the instant access, the immediacy. Everything we have is so disposable.
Mm-hmm.
I think about heirlooms, for example, that are passed down from generation to generation. I received my grandpa's pocket watch that he was given after he retired from the only job he ever worked, 45 years with this blue-collar job. And that's so rare these days. You know, I mean, it's beat up, and I have to wind it, and it takes some work. It's not fancy like a brand-new watch that I can get today.
You know, it's funny. I have a similar heirloom from my father. He bought a gold watch with a gold band, and he was very middle class. So this was a big expense. And he gave it to me, you know, as he passed on. And I have that watch in like a safe. It's like I'm afraid to even take it out. And the truth is, it deserves to be seen. It's beautiful. And I don't even care if it works. I mean, it's a wind-up watch just like that just like that pocket watches that you have. But you're right. Most of the heirlooms we get nowadays are tomatoes.
Yeah. And how quickly do those either get eaten or rot?
Go rotten, right. Oh, God, but take this analogy to this.
I know.
It's a fruitful conclusion.
Fruitful, there you go. You know, but I just think that one of the things that as families we can do with our children is to really take the time to just stop and talk about these stories that we've experienced. And that really, I think, helps shape our identity and helps us remember who we are.
Well, the oral tradition was all there was for a lot of history before the Guggenheim Press was invented. It was oral history for the most part. So,
you know, it reminds me of my brother-in-law.
What did I say, Gutenberg or
Guggenheim?
Gutenberg, right. Oh, well, I had Gut right. You know, there's something you said earlier. I feel like I have to be a paternal figure for you right now. And I hope what you said completely turns out the way you just described, which is that you want to pass on the values. You want to teach your son to do this and to do that. And God willing, he will, of course, follow in your path of religious belief. I'm not sure you care whether or not he goes in the ministry or not. But be prepared that your child, and I don't mean this for you specifically, I really mean this more generically, may just not be as interested or follow or care about the values that you present them, no matter how much you repeat them.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that if I try to force it upon him, not giving him the choice, he'll keep pushing it back until he becomes immune to it.
But what I do believe is the traditions that you establish in your home. So if, like in our house, we do Friday night Shabbat, as I've told you about many times, a lot. And I'm sure at times the kids have resented it or wished they could do something else, or they didn't have to share their best and worst, which is something we do every week, or do the three or four short blessings we do. But I now see as they're older that it is really kind of in their DNA now. That tradition. Will they continue it with their own families? I don't know. But repetition does help. So, but there's no guarantee that it will take, is really my point.
Yeah, and you've laid a foundation, whether or not they choose to build their home on that foundation or to build it somewhere else. At least you've provided that foundation.
Right, and I know you will obviously do that and then some.
But good reminder, though.
So we're nearly out of time. Pastor Drew, any other parting thoughts or words you would like to share?
You know, I think though technology is so wonderful and enables us, for example, to keep in touch with your son, if he so chooses to respond all the way across the country, I think that there's such a value in turning off the phone. When you're with your family, turning off the TV, and though it might be uncomfortable for us, just tell stories. Hey, remember that time we were on the family vacation and, of course, Dad forgot to fill up the tank and we ran out of gas and we got stuck, but how we, you know, just remembering those stories I think is so great as a family to practice together.
Well, I agree, especially with the idea of turning off your technology for at least a few hours together as a family once a week. I mean, how bad is it going to be if you miss an email or a tweet? And I have a hard time with that, but it's good to do.
Yeah.
All right, Pastor Drew, look forward to talking with you again next week.
You as well.
Okay, it is time for a break. You can tweet me at Bruce Salen, and you stay tuned for the Women's Room with Dr. Jennifer Weberman. You say, why did you do it?